fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
November 1st, day and time for Fantasy Week 9. It is waiver wire time on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Hey, guys. What's up?
Yo.
Why aren't you more excited? It's a great day.
Why is it a great day, Heath?
It's a great day because it's November. Can you believe it's November?
Can you believe? I don't ever want to play fantasy football again after the beat I took last night. I would say one of the worst I've ever had. I was so mad last night, and all you need to know, I was up 28 points in a PPR league going into last night, and he had one guy left. And
Jordan Howard.
Was. Against the Vikings, against my team. It's bad enough the Vikings have lost two in a row, and they're 0-2 when I'm a fan. But Jordan Howard put up 29 against the Vikings. I was so pissed watching it unfold. I was like, is he really going to do this? Is he really? Oh, my God. 60-yard run, touchdown. And then he got it on the last drive. I was, like, beside myself. I haven't been this mad about fantasy in a very long time.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I feel for it. Yeah, I don't really get mad about fantasy.
I usually don't. But, you know, like I said.
Sometimes I get sick to my stomach if something I said just is looking really, really, really stupid on a Sunday. But I don't ever get mad.
Let's be honest. This isn't about your fantasy team as much as it is about you. And here we are making the show about you again. Yes, because once again, you have graced the Minnesota Vikings or any other NFL team with your lovely curse. You've made them terrible because you said you like them.
Uh-huh.
And you're mad that it's happening and it's going to keep happening. And you are sending the Vikings on a one-way train to 5-11. This is all your fault.
I am very sorry. I'll point out to Vikings fans. I looked it up this morning just to give you a little bit of hope. The Denver Broncos lost two straight games twice last year. And people were probably like, oh, there's so many problems with Denver Broncos when that happened. But they rebounded. So, scale Vikings. All right, guys. Waiver wire
today.
I always
say that wrong.
You're going scale now?
He says it.
I change it up. I change it up, you know. Corey Coleman might play this week. Ladarius Green might play this week. We have six teams on bye. Arizona, Chicago, Cincinnati, Washington, New England, and Houston. Jamie, we haven't really heard from you. How was your Halloween?
That was good.
All right.
That was good. How was yours?
It's good. Well, you know, until Jordan Howard, it was fine.
Did you get mistaken for a werewolf?
No, only I didn't leave the house, and only three trick-or-treaters. None of them called me a werewolf, so all good. Top three waiver wire priorities. Jamie, I'll start with you.
Sharkandrick West would be one. Tim Hightower would be two, and Sharkandrick West would be three.
You're going to pick him up twice. He's so good, you're going to get him twice.
I really, and we don't know anything yet on a Monday, but
Antoine Smith would be three.
I kind of get the feeling that both Spencer Ware and Alex Smith are going to be okay from the way the Chiefs
Hopefully.
Were talking yesterday.
But All after right. what happened to them where Smith looked like he was knocked ridiculous.
He didn't even get a concussion.
And then they diagnosed him with a lacerated ear.
Right, he even had the Band-Aid on the ear.
And then let him come back out there, and then he got concussed again.
He didn't get concussed the second time either. He passed both times.
Yeah, I'm going to guess there's going to be a letter from the league that says, you screwed up.
And then this Spencer Ware, they said, had no symptoms yesterday.
He did not pass the second part of the concussion test.
Spencer Ware didn't.
Right, but he had no symptoms?
He had no symptoms yesterday.
I'm only picking up West if I've got Spencer Ware because I don't want to spend my number one waiver claim on West and then find out Spencer Ware is cleared and he's going to be ready to go.
The nice thing about picking up Sharkandrick West is that Spencer Ware is one injury away from Sharkandrick West being the most popular player in fantasy football. So if you can get him now, you get him now.
He's so good that he's third string.
Yeah, but
the year third string.
But okay, and that's a good point. So I think people are going to bring up Nile Davis and all the money they wasted on Nile Davis. And compare the two situations. At least with Sharkandrick West, we have a history of him not necessarily being great on a per-touch basis, but being good for fantasy, scoring touchdowns, getting double-digit fantasy points. I think Chris said he averaged over 11 fantasy points in his 9 starts last year. It's a completely different situation, right?
It's a completely different situation. West is going to get a volume, if Ware goes down. So that's the main positive. The only thing I think is if I needed somebody to start this week, it's more likely that Smith or Hightower is going to give me a game-winning performance.
Yeah, Hightower is interesting. I mean, they got the San Francisco 49ers, one of the worst run defenses that we've seen in a long, long time. And like I said yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if two running backs had good games against the 49ers. But who do you guys think, who did you rank higher, Ingram or Hightower this week?
Ingram, but they're close.
Yeah, I ranked Ingram like 20 and Hightower 22 or something.
Right? I feel like when coaches want to bury a player, they'll bury a player.
And they kind of did.
They did by benching him. But then after the game, they said he'll bounce back from it. He's a tough, strong player.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton stood up for him twice. He did on Sunday and then again on Monday. I don't think Mark Ingram is completely out of their plans.
No, but they did also say that Hightower did enough to where he's earned a role in the
Dolphins. Sure, so that's going to lose. It's either a short leash situation for Ingram, or he's going to not see
or
every single snap. But he's the better running back of the two.
We know how much they hate.
Well, he was.
They hate letting Mark Ingram score touchdowns.
So and they let Hightower try, and he couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. They just need to give it to Kuhn.
I was surprised they didn't give it to John Kuhn, actually.
They might as well use Flaner as a fullback.
They might as well throw the ball.
Flaner got stuffed on a run, too.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to just go back to Sharkhandrick West, then we'll get a few more names for the waiver wire. We'll go a little bit deeper, and of course, we'll obviously go in-depth later in the show. But with the Chiefs, their schedule is kind of tough for running backs. Jacksonville this week, at Carolina, Tampa Bay, at Denver. Those are the next four games. Does that factor in at all when you look at Sharkhandrick West?
It's another strike against him.
I wouldn't consider Jacksonville on the road tough.
No, I wouldn't either. And I don't know that Tampa Bay on the road is that tough either.
Yeah.
So, and Denver's been pretty league average.
When you say on the road, you mean in Kansas City.
In Kansas City.
Right. Yeah, those defenses are on the road.
I think that's just it looks tough compared to the schedule the Chiefs have played over the last month, but it's not that bad.
Well, wow.
They also really have Denver at home in week 16. I don't know if you would consider that.
Yeah, not
tough.
Now,
not
I think
tough.
It's average.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, they really have had a great schedule. Oakland, the Saints, and the Colts the last 3 weeks. But all right, guys. More names. Heath, Dave, whoever wants to jump in. I was going to go to Heath, but then he started drinking a glass of water, so I'm buying time for you. You ready, Heath?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
I really like Mohamed Sanu if you are in trouble with buys and need a starter this week. I don't love Sanu. I'd rather pick up Corey Coleman if it's just somebody you're adding as a third or fourth wide receiver for depth. But if you need somebody to start this week, Sanu, Julio Jones was not right in the second half of that game. He only gets 3 days to get better, and this Tampa Bay secondary is bad.
Okay. Anyone else you want to bring up?
I would just say that I'm pretty excited for a 1 week starter about Smith and Hightower this week.
You are.
I've got West ranked higher right now. That's just with Ware being out. They sound awfully optimistic.
Okay. Dave, names?
Rob Kelly. Now, he's owned in 63% of leagues. He's going to get picked up in the rest. I think he showed enough against Cincinnati that he can have that job rest of the way in Washington, or at least until he, you know.
His schedule is just so awful for the next month.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to feel good starting him until December.
Hey, question.
Well, listen, he's got Minnesota at home, and the Vikings just gave up a big game to Jordan Howard.
That was with two of their best defensive players missing him.
All right, well, are they going to be back?
I would assume they're back next week.
Who is missing for them?
The safety, I never pronounced
his name.
Yep.
Sendejo? Sendejo is one of their best defenders.
Against the run?
Okay.
And Sharif Floyd?
Sharif Floyd's been missing for a while. So I don't... back is obviously going to be good, but it was a bad game. They missed tackles.
But he's got a bye, and then he's got Minnesota at home. Then he's got Green Bay at home, who's actually been the best team against the run.
Right.
Then he goes on the road for three straight.
Yep. Dallas on the short week.
At Arizona, at Philly.
Mm-hmm. That's assuming that he's the guy, too.
Right. And then Carolina.
I wanted to get your... Because this is important, because obviously Jordan Howard, you know, destroying my fantasy world and being awesome unexpectedly yesterday... I don't know that we make too much of matchups, but what do you think? I mean, do we make too much of matchups? Is opportunity more important?
Opportunity is definitely important. We didn't know he was going to get this kind of an opportunity, and I bet the Bears coaches didn't know he was going to get that kind of an opportunity either, but he just took off right from the first quarter, and the Bears said they were going to ride the hot hand. Well, his hand got hot first.
Yeah, I downgraded him a lot more because of
The uncertainty, right?
Kadeem Carey's increase in snaps.
What about Jeremy Langford, too?
And Langford.
And both guards were out for Chicago, and they still blocked well.
Maybe those guards weren't good.
No, those guards are good. The replacements played out of their minds.
Yeah, it was very surprising. Okay, that's enough names for now, I think, but unless you want to talk about just deeper leagues real quick so we don't have to make people wait 50 minutes, anybody in deeper leagues that you'd be looking at?
I got a tight end I love this week.
Who you got?
Austin Hooper.
Hooper.
Of the Atlanta Falcons taking on Tampa Bay this week with no Jacob Tammy there. I think he's going to see a lot of playing time. And I think he's got a decent chance as anybody to score. I've got him as a streamer.
I got a team name Tuesday for Dave.
Oh, yeah?
Hanging with Mr. Hooper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting nice. Into it.
Do you guys realize how good Kenny Britt's matchups are the next 4 weeks? Carolina, they give up the most fantasy points to wide receivers. The Jets give up the third most. The Dolphins have struggled with number ones. And the Saints are after that. He's 60% owned. He's not exactly deep leagues, but Jamie, Kenny Britt's pretty low on your wide receiver list. How come?
Well, he's already 60% owned, so it's not like you're getting a lot of wiggle room there for what we talk about. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this receiving core kind of be up and down. You know, the last game, they had a good matchup, too, against the Giants. And
no, they didn't. That's a terrible matchup.
Well, no, coming into the game, the Giants were struggling at that point.
And the Giants
were
without
the Giants
a couple
got
of
healthy. The Giants got healthy. They were always good against number one wide receivers. I don't think that was surprising that they struggled.
Jamie, we might be overrating Kenny Britt a little
bad
bit,
about
too.
The Giants again.
That's true.
Well, that's his old former
I'm just
team.
Telling you the truth.
No, the Vikings have lost two in a row. He's back on the Giants now.
Oh.
Giants have won two in a row.
Britt only has one game this year with double digits and fantasy points.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's Goff, are you going to feel comfortable with Britt?
Nope.
That's the problem.
What about Dontrell Inman with Travis Benjamin with a PCL injury? We know the Chargers' schedule is starting to get better. Inman's
yep.
very unowned, under-owned.
Yeah, we just don't know what's going to happen with Benjamin. That's
right.
The thing.
Okay.
Or Tyrell, right?
Well, Tyrell should be fine.
Yeah.
But they did sign a receiver.
Because he was hobbled during that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were both banged up coming into the game, but one is seeing getting a second opinion.
How much fab are you spending on Sharkhandrick West or Tim Hightower?
15%.
Yeah, 10 to 15.
Yeah, just unless you're desperate for a running back, then you got to do what you got to do. But I wouldn't spend a lot on either one.
Okay, so we're not breaking the bank for anybody this week.
And no, just Austin Hooper.
Just like last week where you were the best quarterback suggestions that we gave you for the waiver wire were Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brock Osweiler. It's Ryan Tannehill this week. Quarterback, this is a tough week for quarterback. There's some.
There's a guy. There's a guy who's going to do well.
Who?
Josh McCown.
Colin Kaepernick.
If McCown's a starter.
If he's the starter.
It's Colin Kaepernick.
Ryan Tannehill should be the best guy this week.
We all like different guys. This is
yes.
exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. This should be fun. Hey, before we get into Chicago, Minnesota, and all the injuries, news, and notes, Devontae Booker. I promised our listeners we kind of skipped over him yesterday. He was hot topic last week. We didn't really talk about him. Do you have any insightful things to say about Devontae Booker, who was playing through a shoulder injury, had 19 carries, 54 yards and a touchdown, and 30 yards receiving?
And almost a second touchdown.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much the shoulder injury was bothering him, because he did not look, I didn't think, as good as he had looked with less work earlier in the year.
He also could have been worn down, too.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if he got tired. I don't know if he was trying to avoid contact on the shoulder or what, but he didn't look like the same running back we'd seen in limited action when C.J. Anderson was number one. Some running backs just are better with limited exposure. We'll find out this week and next week because he has great matchups.
Oh, yeah. Oakland and the Saints, both on the road.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Start Devontae Booker. 24 touches. That is awesome. Chicago 20, Minnesota 10. As if Minnesota's offensive line couldn't get any worse, left guard Alex Boone left in the fourth quarter and was being evaluated for a concussion. That might be worst offensive line in the NFL?
It is the worst offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, it's bad.
Hello, Los Angeles Rams on line one.
They're better than the Vikings.
I don't know if they're better than the Vikings.
They don't give up as many sacks as their guys, as the Vikings do, as Adams' team does.
Yeah. No, we're bad up front. Captain Munnerlyn, one of their cornerbacks, left with a foot injury, and Xavier Rhodes briefly left with a calf injury, and while he was off the field, Alshon Jeffrey caught a touchdown.
Yep.
Okay, how about Jay Cutler? Not this week, but how about next week at Tampa Bay? Next week, another bad week for quarterbacks. Remember we talked about that last week and some of the guys you might be looking at, like Joe Flacco against Cleveland? Did Cutler show you anything that you might want to start him at Tampa Bay in Week 10?
Maybe.
He's streamable. I mean, you give him those two passes that Alshon Jeffrey tried to catch with his helmet, and he may have thrown for 300 yards.
He also missed Jeffrey on a touchdown pass in the first quarter.
He also missed Deontay Thompson on a touchdown bomb.
Lots of almost touchdowns for Jay Cutler.
Yeah, which, you know, is kind of the case for him. And there are three quarterbacks on bye in Week 10 that you might need a replacement for. Stafford, Luck, Derek Carr. And sure, if you're starting Tyrod Taylor, he's on bye too. So Cutler is a guy you can stash for that week because of the matchup at Tampa Bay. Lovie Smith will be watching.
Now,
in Illinois,
Jordan Howard had two straight 100-yard games in weeks 4 and 5, did very little, did score a touchdown in week 6, but 56 combined yards in rushing in weeks 6 and 7. And then he had this stretch of Minnesota, a bye at Tampa Bay, at the Giants, good run defenses here. And he just dominated yesterday. It was just obvious the Vikings played like garbage. But what do you make of Jordan Howard? How good do you think he's going to be going forward?
Well, the nice thing is that it looks like he's going to regain that starting role and
we
have a good chance at
role.
15 plus. Well, that's true. But there was a question about it and just how much work he was going to get. And that's a big reason why people didn't start him. But I think he'll lead the Bears in carries until he stinks again, which hopefully won't happen for a while. I like the idea of having him and handcuffing him, but I don't know who I would handcuff him to between Langford and Carey.
I think it's Langford.
I would hope it's Langford.
It makes sense for it to be Langford.
He is a guy that has – he's just going to be a high-variance play, I think, it's both week to week and for the rest of the year because he doesn't have a great hold, I don't feel like, on 20 touches a game. He has one bad game. We could be back in a hot hand situation and somebody else could get the hot hand.
Right. Like, they're going to commit to him on a week-by-week basis instead of a series-by-series.
But he
basis.
Also has elite upside that he's shown multiple times now.
Yeah, let's give him some credit. Let's give him some credit. And hopefully they keep involved.
Hopefully the offensive line gets healthier, and that'll make him even better.
Okay, Jamie, your thoughts on Alshon Jeffrey and Cameron Meredith?
Well, Meredith is droppable. I mean, he was essentially a byproduct of Brian Hoyer looking right, looking right, looking right. So I think you're looking at Jeffrey as this is a game that gives you hope. His quarterback comes back, and all of a sudden, look, the production's there. The targets have been there for him the last few weeks. It's just a matter of the production not following. And so whether it's a situation of just Rhodes being out on that play and him scoring or, you know, the hope that Jay Cutler and Jeffrey get going a little bit. Look, this guy's playing for a contract. And so now it's his time to step up. If he's finishes strong, he'll get paid to the level I'm sure he hopes to get paid. So I'm not giving up on him by any stretch now.
Zach Miller had the best game for a tight end against Minnesota so far this year. 7 catches for 88 yards on 10 targets, but he's got a bye now. So is Zach Miller droppable, or is he one of the must-own tight ends?
This was I feel bad because I'd moved Zach Miller down quite a bit because I kind of thought he was a little bit of a product of Hoyer as well. The fact that he got 10 targets is huge from Cutler. I'm probably not going to hold on to Zach Miller. I don't feel like I have to.
Okay. What about Kyle Rudolph? Is Kyle Rudolph still a must-own tight end?
He gets the Lions this week, so
yeah,
yes.
That's a dream situation.
Okay.
But perfect. If he doesn't come through after this week, then what?
Then you could drop him.
Then you drop him.
How about the running backs for Minnesota? Do you think they're expendable at this point on your roster?
I feel like people would still take a chance on Asiata.
You're probably starting
even though
this week.
He was nauseating and he couldn't find the end zone.
3 straight tries.
Yeah, and you know, I like the fact that he can catch passes out of the backfield, but eventually Jerick McKinnon will get healthy, and once McKinnon's healthy, you know, you're talking about a guy who probably will be back in the lead role by default because Asiata couldn't get it done.
But if he's not healthy this week, he gets the Lions, which is a good matchup. If he's not healthy next week, he gets the Redskins, which is a good matchup. If there's no McKinnon,
I almost don't
Asiata's
think the matchup even makes it useful because that offensive line's so bad.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but bad. Asiata's total yards will help you if he's the guy.
Right. The floor was seen last night. 7 yes. fantasy points. Yes. 70 total yards.
He's pretty close to a must start this week if McKinnon's out.
Okay. Yeah,
because he's a number two running back.
Yeah, I would cut McKinnon at this point.
Why? Because he could come back and be in that
and
good
be
role.
In a split behind a bad offensive line where he has had one good game.
I don't know if I'm ready to cut him. Keep him on the bench. If I need the roster spot, we'll let him go.
Bye-bye.
We do have the drop-o-meter coming up in a little bit. Also, it is Tuesday, so, you know, we have Woo! TNN Tuesday.
Yeah! Terrible
America's favorite Tuesday. Segment. Injuries, news, and notes. Alex Smith, Spencer Ware. I think we talked about the Chiefs. They have Jacksonville this week, and we don't know. Both of them might be fine, Smith and Ware. What about Jamal Charles, though? Drop-o-meter on Jamal Charles.
I'd wait to see what the result is from Andrews first.
I would suspect it's going to be a 10.
Andy Reid spun it as a positive that he was going to see James Andrews.
Has anyone ever gone to see Dr. James Andrews?
We talked about this, right.
Got good news.
And was like back a week or two later.
Probably.
Yeah. It's happened, but it's been
I don't
sparing.
Remember.
Yeah.
And even if he does come back, there's no way they're going to give him that big workload. They're going to ease him in. I'm not saying to drop Jamal Charles because someone else. I'll say the same thing with Charles as I said for McKinnon. If he's your very last spot, you've got a loaded bench, you've got a handcuff you can't cut, then you let him go. And
I think I'm cutting him in one league for Ryan Tannehill this week.
But is he your worst player on
Charles?
Your bench? Like, who else
McKinnon?
Is on your
Charles.
Bench?
Charles?
Yeah.
Who else is on your bench?
It's between him and Ryan Matthews, and Ryan Matthews at least has a pulse.
Right. Right.
Cool. Ty Montgomery has sickle cell trait, and Green Bay cut Nile Davis. So give me your thoughts on the Packers' backfield.
I would assume one of two things.
Ripkowski.
They've figured out how to manage this with Montgomery and don't have concerns for this week, or James Starks coming back.
Could be both.
Could be both.
Yeah.
Yeah. We probably should have mentioned James Starks as. I mean, I feel like he's been talking about that.
Absolutely.
I don't know about Dave and Jamie. Is he a must add?
I think he's a great stash.
He's a good stash. I don't know, must add, but he's in the stash category. I mean, you see the list I gave you, so he's in the stash group.
He's the stash for the teams that are above 500. The fantasy teams that are above 500. They're hoping to make the playoffs. He's somebody.
But you wonder though if they're
really
going to go away from what they've been doing.
I think they can't wait to get a running back.
To give them 15
balance.
Plus carries? To give them.
Oh, maybe 15
10 plus
is the max.
Carries?
No, 15 is the max. I still think Aaron Rodgers is where they're going.
They got what? 14 combined between the three guys last week? Ripkowski,
14 carries between
Jackson
them?
And Davis.
And how'd they do?
Oh, they were bad. I mean,
right.
Rukowski was the best one.
They need somebody who can average at least 3.5 yards per carry. And James Starks.
So they're getting somebody else
that.
Then.
I think Starks can get to 3.
Starks is like 3.2.
Next, we have Travis Benjamin. Like I said, second opinion on his PCL injury. J.J. Nelson is now a starting wide receiver for Arizona. He apparently has surpassed Michael Floyd, who you can drop. But that he's like their third receiver, J.J. Nelson, going forward.
Well, Fitzgerald's also hurt.
Right, but expected back.
Yeah, he's
yeah, he should be fine. But, I mean, look, they need some life in this receiving core.
Okay, well, that's somebody you could pick up this week, J.J. Nelson. He's got a bye, and then San Francisco. Cardinals news here. Tyrann Mathieu out 3 to 6 weeks with a shoulder injury. Fitzgerald has the sprained ankle right now. He's expected to play after this week's bye. But they lost their left tackle, Jared Veldier, on IR with a torn triceps. This is big news for them because their offensive line not so good to begin with. How does this, what does this mean to you guys?
They stink.
I think it's trouble.
It really hurts John Brown, even if Brown gets back to 100%, because Palmer, and Chris Towers was talking about this yesterday, Palmer's average depth of target has just plummeted. The Cardinals can't protect him for long enough for him to throw deep.
And he can't throw it anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot
of
short passes.
He kind of can. He had some deep completions last week against Carolina. He did better than we thought he'd do.
Doug Peterson is considering making Darren Sproles his starting running back.
He should.
Like, what?
I mean, he already did.
You just gave him like 90% of the carries in a game.
Well, I mean, he's considering doing it again, I guess. And Sproles is 72% owned.
I don't think he's that old. Oh.
If Sproles and Charkandrick West and Hightower are all available in your league, who are you picking up?
Today, West. Sproles.
Dave?
It's Sproles.
All right. Two say Sproles. Jamie says West. Tampa Bay unlikely to have Doug Martin or Jacquizz Rodgers this week. They've got the Thursday game against Atlanta. The Patriots traded Jamie Collins to Cleveland. Good for Cleveland. They're going for it. I like that. New England will get either a third or a fourth round pick. It'll be either a late third or an early fourth round pick. And Andre Johnson is retiring. And we've mentioned that yesterday. This is right from CBSSports.com. Andre Johnson, in 14 seasons, 1,062 catches, 14,185 yards, and 70 touchdowns. That ranks him 9th, 10th, and 33rd in catches, yards, and touchdowns in NFL history. And I could read more stats, but you could read about it on CBSSports.com. Do you expect the following players this week? Tevin Coleman on Thursday?
Nope.
Not as of now.
DeMarco Murray at San Diego?
Yes, as of now.
Ben Roethlisberger at Baltimore?
No. Nope.
Randall Cobb against Indianapolis?
Well, there's a report that he's going to play.
Yeah, there
he
was.
He practiced on Monday.
Yep.
We'll see.
I would expect
that. That would be just like Big Ben.
All right, Randall Cobb.
Yes.
Hopefully.
LeSean
we didn't
McCoy.
Rank him, but we hope so.
No. LeSean McCoy.
No Shady.
No.
Be dumb for him to go out there.
Carlos Hyde.
Not as of now.
Oh, all right. They got the Saints.
Yes. Carlos Hyde will play.
Carlos Hyde will play. All right. And that's it. And how about some free food, guys? Every day. Every day. Another opportunity for you to have free food at blueapron.com/FFT. Give it a shot. You get 3 meals free at blueapron.com/FFT. You don't have to buy anything when you go there. Just take a look at the menu. You're going to really like it. blueapron.com/FFT. I am completely hooked. Last night, I made spiced beef skewers with brown rice and squash. Lemon juice on there. Raisins in the beef skewers. It was amazing stuff. Blue Apron has seafood, chicken, beef, pork, vegetarian options. There are meals for everyone. They're easy to cook. The food is great. And it's all less than $10 per meal. The ingredients are just better with Blue Apron. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. That's how they get the best ingredients, and you can really tell the difference. So go to blueapron.com/FFT. Get 3 meals free with free shipping. Don't wait. blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. The drop-o-meter, before we get into the ad-o-meters. 0 to 10. 10, drop them immediately. 0, you know, don't drop them at all. James White.
0.
0.
Russell Wilson.
4.
4.
7.
Woo.
Mike says, Jacquizz Rodgers.
8. 0. I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, 0 for now. He could still be the starter next week.
Okay, but you don't think he's going to start this week?
No, he's not going to play this week.
I can't call him a 0, though. Like, if you're desperate and he's not going to play this week, you know, I understand why people would drop him.
I wouldn't want to drop him.
Fair. Would you drop, this is from Carla, Marvin Jones for Jamison Crowder?
0.
You would 0. Do that.
It's if my that. Team, hold on, if my team is loaded, I would do it.
You would?
I guess. Why not? Marvin Jones has been terrible. Marvin Jones has been terrible, and Crowder's been productive.
I don't think Marvin
and
Jones
And that tough
been...
schedule coming up for Washington, well, you'd think it would suggest that they'd have to throw a lot.
Like
he's been their number one receiver.
Jameson Crowder's been better than Marvin Jones maybe 2 weeks this year, right?
I think it's been more than that, but not much more than that.
Yeah, I'd rather have Jones.
Yeah, Jones hasn't exactly been terrible. Sean Jackson's been terrible. Michael Floyd, 10, right?
15.
Crowder's last three games are 11, 10, and 16. Marvin Jones' last three games are 7, 9, and 3.
7, 9, and 3?
That's non-PPR. And if it's PPR, you know he's going to have more catches.
Crowder's going to have more catches or Jones?
Yeah. Yeah. And the only reason why Jones has more fantasy points than Crowder is because of that 32-point outburst against the Packers.
Yeah. Next up on the drop-o-meter, Hunter Henry.
5.
I'd go lower than that. I'll say 3.
6.
Jeremy Maclin.
4.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. 4.
Kobe Fleener.
6.
4.
That's it?
What do you mean? What should it be? 10?
I would rather have Fleener than Henry.
Yes.
Not me.
Just now, they're. I think Henry's playing a higher percentage of snaps. Fleener played like 30% of the snaps this week.
It could have been because of the matchup.
But it's the third week in a row his snaps have gone down.
So it can't be about the matchup.
Well, it could be. They could have had the matchups could be getting considerably worse.
I'm going to give Fleener one more week against San Francisco.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
and
it's just
tight end sucks.
Too many targets. Too many wide receivers and
right. There's so many other players that turned out to be great for them.
Yep.
Now his last. His snaps, that includes special teams. I have to edit it. Never mind. Go ahead with that.
No. On Tuesdays when we look at waiver wire, I always look at two teams. I look at the 49ers and I look at the Browns because they always give up a lot of production to wide receivers that you don't expect. Unfortunately, 49ers are playing the Saints, so you can't pick up anybody there. I just want to know, Cole Beasley. I want to put him on the drop-o-meter. Do you think Cole Beasley scores this week against the Browns, or do you think he's okay to drop?
I wouldn't drop him in a PPR league.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Yeah, but in a standard league, I can let him go.
Right. It's hard. He scored his touchdowns without Dez Bryant. Usually about 50, 60 yards, so more of a PPR guy.
We don't expect Dallas to be in a situation where they need to pass, and they haven't really shown a desire to throw a lot.
They were in the second half on Sunday night, and that's when Beasley got all of his production.
Right. I just don't think they'll need to against Cleveland.
It's hard to say.
So how do you feel about Prescott this week?
Must start guy.
I agree.
There's not enough good quarterbacks. He is.
Yeah, but off the air.
Whether they have to throw or just throw, he'll have success.
And he has three or four rushing touchdowns. So.
Right.
Off the air, Dave and Heath were talking as we go into the waiver wire. This is a bad week for quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's
by NATO, part 2.
I think it's the worst one yet this year.
Cool. Great. So, if you are in shallower leagues, here are three players you could pick up that are owned in 70% or more of CBSSports.com leagues. Quincy Enunwa facing the Dolphins, Darren Sproles, and Duke Johnson. Jamie, why did you include Duke Johnson in there?
They're not going to run the ball with a lot of success, and he's starting to come on a little bit. And when was he at his best? Is when Josh McCown was playing. So 9 catches for what do you have? 76 yards, something like that.
He had over 100 total yards.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's good with McCown. Okay, quarterbacks. Palmer, Cutler, Dalton, Cousins, Brady, Osweiler, all on bye. Ben Roethlisberger may or may not play. So Ryan Tannehill facing the Jets. The Jets got some interesting stats there to support Tannehill other than just the obvious ones. Josh McCown facing Dallas without Church. And do we know about Claiborne?
I don't think he's going to play.
Not expected. He had a torn groin.
Right. You can't play with that?
I don't know.
I like him because of that specifically.
And the torn groin?
Because there's no Morris Claiborne. No. Not because of Morris Claiborne's torn groin.
Ryan Fitzpatrick at Miami. Colin Kaepernick facing the Saints. And Nick Foles, if you are completely desperate, against Jacksonville. And Foles might not even play. So Tannehill is Jamie's favorite. Heath, who's your favorite from this list of Tannehill, McCown, Fitzpatrick, Kaepernick?
I'm going Kaepernick.
All right. Go on.
Oh, why is he my favorite?
Yeah.
It's not a great matchup against the Saints, but it's a good matchup. I think the 15 fantasy points is probably pretty close to his floor. The rushing production really, like Tannehill has a huge upside against the Jets. But there's also a chance that Ajayi is just as good as he's been. He runs for 200 yards, and they just don't throw the ball that much. If the 49ers don't throw the ball that much, which I think they'll have to, Kaepernick's still going to run.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson didn't play well against them.
That's true.
Russell Wilson hasn't run for more than 16 yards all year.
He has as many rushing yards as Tom Brady.
And Kaepernick's, in his 2 starts, been better than Russell Wilson this year.
That's amazing. That is true. For Tannehill, so he's only had 2 good fantasy games, but those are his only 2 games this year with more than 32 pass attempts. He doesn't throw the ball that much. The right. Jets, because their run defense is so good, they see the 4th fewest rush attempts in the NFL and the 9th most pass attempts, and they give up the most passing yards per game. So, Jamie, when you look at Tannehill, do you see him throwing the ball a lot, or could you see a scenario where Ajayi does so well that Tannehill is rendered moot?
That's the only drawback with him.
Yeah.
Is what you said. So, I don't know if he needs to have 30 plus pass attempts to be successful in this matchup.
Sure.
But I do think this is one of those games where Adam Gase kind of lets him play a little bit.
I think the whole game script dynamic for the Jets and Dolphins is the most interesting of the week. Because you got the Forte situation where he has been phenomenal, a top 5 back in the 4 games the Jets have been competitive and useless when they've gotten blown out. You got Ajayi coming off the 2 games where he gets the huge workload and blowout wins. And I think it all hinges on whether or not the Dolphins can run against the Jets front. If they can, it's bad news for Forte. It's bad news for Tannehill.
Are you guys starting Tannehill over, or Kaepernick, and we'll get to McCown in a second, over David Carr?
Yes.
Yes, because he's an analyst.
Yeah. I don't think he can handle the pressure.
Damn it. I don't think I did this once all year. I had such problems with the David Derek thing, and I thought I had it mastered. Derek Carr.
Yes.
I've got Tannehill ahead of Carr.
I'd start Tannehill ahead of Carr, and if we know for sure that McCown is the starter, I would start McCown ahead of Carr, too.
I would, too.
All right, Dave, why are you convinced that McCown's going to have a good game?
Well, this is provided that he actually practices this week and is healthy and ready to go. Dallas' secondary missing its best cornerback, Morris Claiborne, missing a safety, Barry Church. The backups aren't as good as those guys have been playing. Corey Coleman is expected, or has a chance to come back. I shouldn't say expected to come back, but he has a chance to come back. And he's been cleared. If he ends up practicing all week, you got to like his chances of playing there. A lot of weapons for him to lean on, and he did it last week against the Jets. And that's a bad secondary. Dallas is better even without those guys. But I think McCown's going to be given enough opportunity to throw the ball around. And I think he'll be good. I think he can get you two touchdowns, over 200 yards. There will be a turnover in there. And it's a week where there are just some bad matchups for quarterbacks and just bad quarterbacks in general. I will take the upside play with McCown as a bye week replacement, as a guy better than Matthew Stafford, Carr. I like him better than Russell Wilson. I like him better than Jameis Winston. Like him better than Ryan Fitzpatrick and any Chiefs quarterback as well.
The one thing I like about Wilson this week is they're going to take off the knee brace. And so maybe that lets him play a little more free at home.
Are they getting the time machine back too to bring back Russell Wilson?
I mean, we were here this year, this time last year too.
Exactly this time.
And I just wonder if home game against a team that's really looking forward to their bye week in Buffalo, that you have to think that, okay, this is the, like, let him play free. Take the restriction off him.
Mm-hmm.
See if
can they afford to even let him do that with the offensive line being what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the offensive line was bad last year too. It got right.
They got right after the bye. Yeah, that was what started everything.
It got right. Yeah, but it was also him just playing a little bit more free.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on him. This is my last chance with Russell Wilson.
And next week he's at New England.
Yeah. No. This is it. If he doesn't do anything this week, and look, people that have started Russell Wilson, they'll take Josh McCown at this point. So I get that. For me, I'm gonna still rank. Well, I'm sure you probably do too, Heath. But I'm gonna stick with Wilson over McCown for this game against Buffalo, where Buffalo I think is just limping into their bye week.
I've got him over McCown, but I've significantly downgraded him. I've got him below Dak. I've got him below Mariota. I've got him below.
Do you guys have him in your top 12?
Yes.
All right. Let's get to that later in the week. Now, I'm sorry about this. It's not me being a homer. And it's not about the Vikings, but I am looking just through our 12-team leagues and 10-team leagues, and I do see some giants on the waiver wire, even though they're owned in about 80% of leagues. I'm talking about Eli Manning and Sterling Shepard here. If Eli Manning is available, would you rather start McCown, Kaepernick, Tannehill, or Eli Manning?
I like Manning this week. He's got such a great track record coming off bye weeks. And Philly's going to play its second straight road game.
Mm-hmm.
I like Manning better than Tannehill, but not as much as Dak or Winston or Mariota.
Agree on all those, but I think in terms of him compared to Wilson, he's better. Compared to Stafford and Carr, I think Manning's better too.
Yep. He's fallen into my top 12. He's in there. I think he's like 10th or 11th for me. Three of the last four quarterbacks to take on Philly, 20-plus fantasy points, and the one that didn't was little Sammy Bradford, who
little Sammy.
Just isn't that good. Somebody jinxed his team.
Looking ahead to, yeah, it's my fault that Bradford
it's
was like it.
100% your fault.
Real quick, looking ahead to week 10 here with Buffalo, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Oakland on a bye in week 10. Joe Flacco against Cleveland on a Thursday, Alex Smith at Carolina, Carson Wentz against Atlanta, Ryan Tannehill at San Diego. So if you have, you know, you could pick Tannehill up and theoretically start him in two games. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer, well, he's 93% owned, but if he gets dropped, he is San Francisco. Jay Cutler at Tampa Bay, Brock Osweiler at New Orleans. If we want to plan ahead, who do we like from that list?
I see Trevor Siemian against New Orleans and Brock Osweiler at Jacksonville.
Is Simeon still starting by then?
I think he will be because I just don't think they like Paxton Lynch yet, which is unfortunate.
I'm sorry, Siemian.
I think Tannehill is the best bet of them all. I don't want to trust Flacco on the short week, if Steve Smith's back by then.
Yeah, I think I might like Cutler against Tampa Bay. Their secondary's not good.
Okay. And on the drop list, Carson Palmer, you know, San Francisco after the bye, so, you know.
Then at Minnesota, then at Atlanta.
Yeah, other than the Minnesota game, it's not so bad.
And you mentioned the offensive line taking another hit with Veldier getting hurt.
Yeah.
This is trouble, Barney Rubble.
And you could drop Tyrod Taylor as well because he's at Seattle and then he has a bye. Okay, question from Christos from some town that Dave can pick in Massachusetts.
Let's go with Boston because I'm lazy.
Hey, Freddie, Michael, Jason, and Jigsaw. Team name Tuesday, first of all, Hunter Hurst Henry. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm losing Tom Brady this week. I have Russell Wilson as my backup. You know what? We should probably have already answered this because I didn't realize we were going to compare Russell Wilson to all those guys that we just talked about. So, Christos, thank you for the team name, and your question has been answered. Angel from Milwaukee. Do you like, if we're picking up a guy for 2 weeks, Flacco against Pittsburgh and Cleveland, Tannehill against the Jets in San Diego, Simeon at Oakland and at New Orleans, or McCown against Dallas and at Baltimore?
I'd start with McCown.
I'd go Tannehill.
All righty. Let's go to the running backs. If I can get to the next page. Hey, I love running backs. They're great. Okay, here we go. Running backs. Sharkandrick West, 10% owned. Tim Hightower, 8% owned. Anton Smith and Peyton Barber, unowned. Smith would be your preference over Barber, guys?
Yes.
Yes, based on how they used them both last week.
Right.
Barber's actually...
Which is to say they didn't really use Barber last week.
So, with these first three situations, with Kansas City and Sharkandrick West, Hightower in New Orleans, Smith and Barber for Tampa Bay, who's got the most long-term potential?
No.
Hightower could, just if they do make a switch.
Yeah.
Smith could too, though, because Jacquizz Rodgers has a foot injury and is in the walking boot. He could end up being put on IR at some point in the coming week, maybe. We don't know when Doug Martin's coming back.
And I still think Sharkandrick West, if there's an injury to Spencer Ware,
right,
he could be the guy there and still an offense is going to want to run the ball.
Yeah, he's the handcuff.
Yeah,
high upside handcuff.
We don't know with concussions. You know, sometimes people are optimistic and then they don't come back and they linger. I don't think we should just assume Spencer Ware is playing this week.
Of course.
And we're not.
Like, we didn't rank him. All I said was the Chiefs said he didn't have any symptoms yesterday.
But right. I hate the idea of spending that waiver claim on him and then finding out, Spencer Ware, or he could be a dud and you miss out on a chance of getting somebody like, not that Anton Smith and Tim Hightower are going to be great legendary fantasy superstars, but they could have been guys that helped me before a guy who's going to be the backup for Kansas City against Jacksonville.
Would you guys start, if you owned Mike Gillisley and he was a starter for you and he's at Seattle this week, would you be starting, you know, West, Hightower, Anton Smith over him?
Yes.
If Ware is out, then yes, West is the top 15 back.
He's the only one, though. I think Gillisley will still do fine.
They're right in the same range. He's right in the same range for me with Hightower and Smith.
All right, moving on. Rob Kelly, we talked about Derrick Henry. Do you think anybody other than the DeMarco Murray owner should own Derrick Henry?
No. If Derrick Henry's available, he should be in the stash candidate group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is worth mentioning that DeMarco Murray and Mark Ingram are both very injury-prone running backs.
So. And DeMarco Murray is injured right now. He's going to play through the toe injury, but he's hurt.
It's not serious.
Okay.
But things can build up.
More guys to stash. Deion Lewis, looking maybe even like a better stash now because James White's been so uninvolved lately. DeJuan Harris.
He's uninvolved lately. He dropped a touchdown Sunday.
But what are the targets and what are the touches? I mean, he's barely getting any looks right now.
But will those looks automatically go to Lewis that he's not getting?
It's just the Patriots. He'll go two games without hardly getting any looks, and then he'll get 10 targets the next game.
Right, they'll find him because they like a matchup that they see.
But one thing I know is that Deion Lewis, if he's healthy, if he's 100%, is better than James White.
That's true.
That does not necessarily mean, but he's not going to see 15 touches a game every game. Going to have games where he gets three targets, and he's going to have games where he gets 10.
It's all contingent on how healthy he is.
It is. But
the fact that he's practicing can be taken as a good sign, and everybody's going to remember how good he was last year.
I don't know if people remember just how good he was. I wanted to bring that up. Last year, he played 6 healthy games. If he had played 14 games based on his averages in those 6 games, number 9 running back in standard, number 3 in PPR, that's 14, not even 16 games. So he was that good. He scored a lot of touchdowns, and he was very good carrying the ball when he carried it.
Deion Lewis?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he had 4.
In 6 healthy games, that's a lot.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, anyway. Lewis.
James White has at least 5 targets in 5 straight games. Last week was a real dudsky for him, and dropping the touchdown was bad. If he had caught the touchdown, it would have been his 3rd straight with the score.
All right, Lewis, James Starks, and Paul Perkins. Rank those 3 for long-term stashing.
In that order.
Yeah, I would tend to go in that order too. But part of it's just because I don't like James Starks. So I'll take what I get with Deion Lewis and hope he comes through. You got to like the team that he's on.
The Giants said that Rashad Jennings is going to be their starting running back this week, but he's just not that good.
Nope. He's got a score for you to get like seven fantasy.
It's going to happen. Perkins is going to be, I don't know if he's going to be a must start, but he's going to be a must add guy at some point. It might even be as soon as next week when another bad game for Jennings and they start saying, yeah, we're going to get Perkins more. Like, it's going to happen. So, you know, book that. Jamie wants you to handcuff players. So pick up Capri Bibbs, pick up CJ Procise, Bilal Powell, Teron Ward is somewhat relevant. I don't know if he's a handcuff, but he's somewhat relevant. He had seven touches against Green Bay. He has a Thursday game at Tampa Bay for Atlanta. And Kenneth Dixon, Damian Williams, Jamie's been on that a lot. And then for San Francisco, if Carlos Hyde does not play against New Orleans, we got potential here. Who do you like?
Dewan Harris was the one that led them in touches in their last game, so he'd be the one I'd look at first.
Cool.
I will say on that list of handcuffs, Procise is the most interesting to me. They really made an effort to get him more involved, and he was very good against the Saints. I'm going to see him do it one more week, but he may need to go way up on that list. Because they don't seem like they love Christian Michael anymore.
No, and why is Thomas Rawls not on this list?
He should definitely be. I'd put him ahead of Starks and Deion Lewis.
Wow. You think he's just going to come back and take over for Christian Michael?
The way they're talking and the way they're using Michael makes me think that, yes.
I don't know if that's got...
He's still a month away, though.
I don't know if he's a month away. He might be sooner than that. I think he's a must-have if you've got Michael. I've got a team where Michael is my number one RB. I need Rawls.
I'll put him on the list just for you, Heath.
Thank you.
Hey, I was the one who brought it up. What about me?
No one likes you. You've ruined multiple
weeks. You've bonanzaed yourself.
I did all right this week.
You ruined the Vikings.
Don't get on Thomas Rawls' bandwagon because we don't need you to run this too.
Okay. Oh, it's Team Name Tuesday. That's going to
I know why I didn't mention him. He's 66% owned.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Ah, all right. There you go. Jamie's cutoff is typically 65%. Team Name Tuesday got four or five for you today. This is from Chad. New England Clam Crowder.
It's not bad, except Crowder doesn't play for New England. Not that matters.
You're supposed to say, is that the red or the white? No, you don't know that movie? That's Ace Ventura. All right. Tony has... Oh, okay, this is cool. Tony's in a league with 11 other buddies. We all work in an Italian restaurant together. Here are a few of the team names from our league. I don't get all these references, by the way. Pasta.
Be very careful.
Pasta Puttenhauschka? I don't know what that is.
Is that a pasta Putinesca?
Yes, there you go. So pasta Puttenhauschka. There you go.
All right. No, it's not all right. I'm sorry.
Calamari Cooper? Spaghetti Royal? I love it.
Spaghetti Royal is actually clever.
Cappuccino? And Haloti Sopranata. These are good. These are actual team names in a league of guys that work at an Italian restaurant. I applaud this. I like it. A few more. This is from Adam. Jaquiznos.
Like, all right, it's not bad. Yeah, it's good. Not bad. Yep.
And from Tanner, who lets me sing today. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. What do you think?
I just thought of the best one ever.
I love watching your faces. I imagine it's what all the listeners look like right now. Wide receivers.
Yeah, we're cringing.
Corey Coleman is atop the priority list. Jamie, you put Corey Coleman number one. He might play this week. Do you think that Terrell Pryor and Corey Coleman can both be good?
With Josh McCown, of course.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he supports multiple receivers.
He's the greatest quarterback who ever lived.
Gary Barnage, Duke Johnson, Corey Coleman, Terrell Pryor.
All right, Josh McCown, get it done.
Just fantasy starters all across this Cleveland Browns lineup.
Yeah.
LeBron.
We did run into this problem at the beginning of the year. We thought the Browns would be better. And they're, you know, they are 1-16 or 1-18. They've lost like 18 games in a row, right? 16 games, 18 games in a row.
I don't know.
They have not been good. The one problem is what happens when Josh McCown gets hurt. which is why you got to take it week to week with him. If he does get hurt, it's Kevin Hogan under center. Maybe it's Kessler.
Well, no, they say Kessler. It's between Kessler and McCown starting this week.
I need someone this week. Who am I picking up?
Sanu.
At receiver?
Yeah.
Sanu, yeah.
All right. Other guys that are on this list. Kendall Wright. I'm just looking at this week. Kenny Britt against Carolina. Packers guys like Janis, Trevor Davis, and Geronimo Allison. Tyreek Hill, a little more involved last week.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Stills and mm-hmm. Devontae Parker. The Jets have allowed 9 or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues to multiple wide receivers in the same game 4 times in 8 games. So this is a good matchup for a number 2. Any names that really jump out at you? You're looking at the waiver wire, and he's there. I'm picking him up other than Sanu.
Stills and Parker, one of them should have a good game if Tannehill's going to. It won't all be Jarvis Landry. The one thing that the Jets really have a problem with is the deep ball, and either one of them should be able to get deep.
If Goff is not playing, if it's Keenum, I feel good about 8-ish points at least. 7-8 points floor for Britt. Is that fair?
Yes.
The only thing is Carolina's
it's also a ceiling.
Pass rush looked a lot better on Sunday off the bye.
But the thing that they thrived at, which is a bad situation for Arizona, was their guards were just bad.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
true.
The pressure from Carolina typically is going to come up the middle. Their edge rushers just aren't great. But they were blitzing more, which was good.
Okay, more long-term here. Jamison Crowder, J.J. Nelson, Chris Hogan. Who do you like? Tyreek Hill?
Crowder would be my number one. And there's a name not even on here that I would consider as a number two, and that's Steve Smith, who's 55% owned. I think he absolutely...
It's just a matter of when he's going to be
as a roster. Right, they're coming off the bye.
I don't know. I'm not.
Hopefully,
Steve Smith at this point. 14 man team. I'm not
right. So you don't have enough bench space. I get that. But if he does come back, we've got Pittsburgh this week, Cleveland at Dallas. A couple of games there where he could be good.
Yeah. How about Sterling Shepard, guys? You have any interest in adding him? He's about 80% owned.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Drop him for about 7 guys on this list.
Dontrell Inman. I forgot to. We talked about him.
Not him.
No, okay. Andrew Hawkins, I'm assuming. McCown can't make everyone good.
No, and slot receivers have done well. Look what Jordan Matthews just did against the Cowboys. So slot receivers against them have been successful.
Okay.
If Coleman's out, though. I think if Coleman plays, I don't know how much Andrew Hawkins will
score. The Cleveland Browns are going to score 700 points this week.
Now, Russell Shepherd scored a touchdown. He had only 3 targets, didn't play that much. Was that because of injury?
It might have been, but he didn't play that much the week before either.
And he caught a touchdown in that game, too.
Mm,
right. Got
he may not play this week, though.
I don't. I'm not really buying into him unless it's a really deep league.
I'll take Tyreek Hill before Russell Shepherd.
Let's go to the tight ends. The tight ends, Cameron Brate is number one. He's 64% owned. He caught a touchdown. Good call by Jamie. He caught a touchdown last week against Oakland and now faces Atlanta. Eric Ebron is very interesting. So 7 for 79 on 10 targets. It's a pretty good game against Houston. They've been good against tight ends. At Minnesota this week, then a bye, then Jacksonville, then Minnesota again. So remember last week, I think Jamie was out that day. It was just me, Dave, and Heath. And we were talking about, I picked up Eric Ebron in all these leagues. And then I looked at the schedule and I was like, oh crap, I think I made a mistake. But I don't know. Did I? Or is Eric Ebron, again, second leading receiver when he got hurt? Is Eric Ebron a must-own guy? He's only 38% owned.
I love him in PPR because of the catches, but I don't know if he's going to keep doing a lot with it. He seems like a safe bet for 60, 70 fantasy points or 60, 70 yards a week, not 60 or 70 fantasy points. That would be a record.
Must add.
Unless he plays for the Browns.
I don't mind him this week, obviously, against Minnesota. I think he's going to continue to get force-fed, and he's the reason why the targets went way down for Anquan, and I think a little bit down for everybody else. Maybe not quite Golden Tate, but
okay. So look, Jamie's
he's a startable fantasy tight end.
This is the
better
order.
Than any streamer.
This is the order for Jamie, and he explains it in depth in his column. Cameron Brate, Eric Ebron, C.J. Fedorowicz, who's got a buy. Oh no, buy this week, Fedorowicz.
Yes.
Okay,
he does have a buy.
Smart hat is on the hook.
Antonio Gates, Dennis Pitta, and Ladarius Green. So, Heath, Dave, you want to react to that list?
I agree. I think exactly. Except I think Pitta should be higher.
I can't trust Pitta.
I would pick up Pitta before Gates.
I wouldn't. And Brait is touchdown or bust, which you can't say about, you can't say that about Ebron. I'd rather have Ebron. And for this week, I'd rather have Austin Hooper. Say it again.
Hanging
like the matchup
for
him against Tampa Bay. How do I know it's going to be Hooper?
I said hanging with Mr. Hooper.
Oh, yes. Let's hang with him.
Richard
Big
Dreyfuss,
opportunity for him.
Richard Dreyfuss was Hooper in Jaws, right?
Sure.
And then the other guy, Quinn, is that his name? He goes, Hooper! Isn't that a thing? It's a thing. I think it's a thing. Defenses.
Like Jacqueline Bisset in The Deep.
The Lions, I don't know what that means, are at Minnesota. The Dolphins have the Jets. The Steelers are at Baltimore. I'm not loving those options. And you know what? I was loving the Jets last week. I didn't pick them up in any leagues. I was lazy. But they scored 5 fantasy points. So I don't know. Are there any waiver wire DSTs that you're pumped about?
If Ben Roethlisberger's not back, the Ravens against Pittsburgh, they get Suggs and Mosley back, and they've been pretty decent in terms of both turnovers and getting after the quarterback.
Okay. I've got one in shallower leagues. If the Carolina Panthers are available, they are at the Rams. They are 73% owned.
Man, that'd be so nice if it's Goff.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be very nice.
Dolphins are the number one, if you ask me.
I like the Dolphins, too. Mm-hmm. I like the Lions also because the Vikings just are terrible.
And they played on Monday. I can't help but think they'll try and get it turned around, and I don't like trusting bad defenses.
And I know we've talked a lot about the Browns and all their offensive prowess, but the Cowboys against Cleveland are not a terrible choice.
All right, I'm kind of in on the Lions.
If they were healthy, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Missing those two guys is going to be real bad for them.
I kind of feel like the Falcons against the Buccaneers. The Falcons have a pretty good pass rush.
It's gotten better.
It's a Thursday game. I feel like
I agree.
It could be a little sloppy.
I agree.
And Jameis gets careless with the ball.
And the running back situation for them.
Yep.
So
yep.
Falcons, I don't hate them. All right. And kickers. If you need a kicker, Will Lutz, Caleb Sturgis, and Ryan Succop are in Jamie's column. Will Lutz, pretty good. Plays for
New
Orleans.
I hope it travels, though, because he's only been good at home.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Just like everything New Orleans.
Yep. Unless they play the Chiefs.
I want to read an email from Greg in some town in Massachusetts. Dave, not Boston this time.
Kennettsville.
Really? Is that a place?
Made it up.
Dear Huey, Dewey, Louie.
Let's go with Everett. Everett.
Okay.
Massachusetts.
Dear Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Scrooge, I recently traded for the Vikings defense, and now I'm terrified. Do you see the Vikings defense improving? I guess getting back to form, or are these last two games indicative of what we can expect?
I think they'll be better than they've been the last two games.
They've been on the field an awful lot. It's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad two-week stretch for the Vikings. If you guys are going to give other teams passes for playing two straight road games, you probably should do it for the Vikings.
For sure.
They're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We Vikings fans, we're going to be fine. And don't worry about it. All right. Anything else you guys like to contribute here?
A little jovial laugh there.
Yeah. I got a Mark Ingram email I can read. Hang on.
Okay.
How's everything?
Dun, dun, dun,
here we go.
Dun,
all right, here's the email. It's from Patrick. Where's Patrick from?
Patrick is from Kennettsville, Massachusetts.
I'm looking to buy low on Mark Ingram. Who should I offer? Booker, Quiz, Lamar Miller, Latavius Murray, Jerick McKinnon.
Quiz would make a ton of sense.
Quiz.
Two guys who aren't playing, that would be a good trade.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other guys.
If I would probably, I'd rather have Ingram than McKinnon the rest of season.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I would offer either one of those.
I would actually do a 2-for-1. Offer Quiz and McKinnon for Ingram.
Yeah. Wow, what a deal.
Any other running?
3 ankles and 3 feet between
throw
two players.
Throw in Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, throw in Eddie as well. Lacy.
Adrian Peterson.
Perfect.
He might come back.
Goodbye, everybody. That's it for the Waiver Wire. Back with the Fantasy Smorgasbord tomorrow. That is the Wednesday show.
Smorgasbord, huh?
That sounds tasty.